You're saying you lost the motivation, but you're talking to the guy who has zero motivation. I remember I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to lose all this weight. And then just, like, stop.
I mean, me too, man.
I mean, it's not that it's hard. It's just, let's just say it, I'm lazy.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's also time consuming.
And no one can do it for you.
Yep.
Like, you have to want to do it. That's the one thing I know for 100% fact.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prep Egina, and I'm here with my good buddy, Andre Rodriguez. Andre, what's going on?
What's going on, Prep?
Man, let's be honest. There is not much going on for me. And there is a lot going on in MMA. That's something that we talked about last week, that we would have so much news going on this week. And honestly, that's the stuff that I want to talk about. I want to talk about some of the things that we didn't get to cover off last week. Jones versus Adesanya, Conor McGregor, some stuff that happened this week. So let's get into it, Andre, right off the back. No notes on this podcast, so this should be fun. Andre, this morning I turned on a little podcast called Ariel Helwani's MMA Show. And who was on there? None other than Tony Ferguson. Did you get a chance to listen to this interview?
I saw, yeah, brief snippets.
Okay, so I listened to the whole thing today. Like, we were so busy at work, I didn't move from my block. So I was able to, like, listen to it straight through. And the first, like, 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, this dude sounds great. Like, he's, like, he has this positive attitude. Like, he sounds fantastic. And then about 10 minutes in, Tony Ferguson becomes Tony Ferguson. So Tony Ferguson is looking to get a payday. He said he wants to fight whatever he has to do to get back to the belt. But people are already out there refuting his claims. He says he'll fight Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler says he turned down a fight. What do you want to see from Tony Ferguson? Obviously, Tony Ferguson just wants to compete. He doesn't care if it's in Submission Underground or in the UFC. What do you want to see Tony Ferguson do?
Well, you know, obviously, because I'm such a big fan of Tony, I want to see him fight the best in the world. But there is one thing to also consider. It might not be on the table right now, but if he can't truly secure a fight with Chandler, and if he doesn't want to fight somebody like Dan Hooker, which I believe would be a great fight, there's also a chance for him to make a nice matchup at welterweight. I mean, if you think about it this way, he can fight a top 10 opponent up there immediately because of the body of work that he's done at lightweight. And I think he matches up pretty well with all those guys. I mean, he's durable. He has excellent cardio, great striking, excellent jiu-jitsu. And, you know, a lot of people probably remember that on The Ultimate Fighter that he, you know, took participation in, he fought at welterweight and won the whole thing. So I don't think it would all be a bad idea. I mean, because let's face it, you know, I don't believe in curses and stuff like that, but this whole Khabib debauchery where he's tried to fight him like 12 times, you know, that maybe it's time for him to just give it a rest, you know. But other than that, yeah, I think maybe waiting either for that Chandler fight, fighting Hooker, or maybe even waiting for the matchup between Dustin and Connor if it happens a lot sooner than we expect. So we'll see, you know.
Yeah, for me, it's obviously, I would love to see him fight Michael Chandler. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Michael Chandler is the replacement fighter for the title fight. But I don't know how much Tony Ferguson fighting Michael Chandler moves him up the card. So I think he was on the right track trying to fight Poirier. Mm-hmm. But that gives us the transition now. After a brief exchange last week on Twitter, Dustin Poirier and Conor McGregor are looking to fight. UFC is on board, obviously. Conor, a few minutes ago, or a few hours ago, actually, Conor McGregor is confirmed that he is willing to take the fight under the UFC banner, but he wants the fight in December or November rather than the January date UFC wants for him. Do you think this is a smart move on either of these guys' part? Because it looks like there was a trajectory for either of these guys following the Khabib fight. But do you think that this Conor McGregor versus Poirier rematch is like the best thing for both these guys right now?
Well, to be honest with you, it's certainly the best thing for Conor, because if he can defeat Dustin, and especially in devastating fashion, this puts him right up there for title contention. And on Dustin's end, it is a very dangerous fight. But it will actually work to his benefit, because not only is he going to make a lot of money from fighting Conor, but this is going to put him yet again on the big stage and push him closer to a title shot against Khabib or Justin Gaethje or Michael Chandler, whoever ends up with that belt. But at the end of the day, it's just a great fight for the fans. This was a matchup that I believe a lot of people wanted to see, especially on Twitter, because a lot of people, like myself, we're talking about the fact that Dustin has definitely improved as a fighter, like by leaps and bounds, ever since he moved up to lightweight. And you could see the differences in the level of striking that he possesses now, even his grappling and his just willingness to go in there and make it a dogfight with some of the best fighters at lightweight. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, this kid took Dan Hooker out, and he, you know, he did it in impressive fashion. He went 5 rounds of Max Holloway, won the fight. I mean, this dude has fought some of the best in the world and has done exceptionally well. So this is a fight that I'd be excited for, because I think that he actually has a chance to beat Conor in a 5-round main event. So at the end of the day, it's just good all around. And it's just one of those fights that I think is going to be definitely fight of the year potential if it goes more than 2 rounds.
Yeah, so another person who's in the news for possible fight talks is GSP. He's obviously said from the beginning that the only fight that he would like to take would be against Khabib, and he's continuing to bring back those in a recent interview. I'm sorry, he has restated that, but he does have some conditions. Let's see what his conditions are. He would like to fight Khabib, but not right now, because obviously the whole pandemic is going on and he wouldn't be able to train as well. For me, what is it though that he could do? How could they fight? What weight would be like the best for them? Because obviously his last fight was at 185. Obviously he's not a 185er. He's a perfect 170 pounder. Khabib may be a little too big for 155. Do you think 160, 165 is like perfect for these guys?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think a 165 pound catch weight would be the fight that will be the weight that will make the most sense for both guys. It's obvious that GSP can make it down there, because in his welterweight days, he wasn't cutting that much weight to get down to 170. So I don't think it'd be a problem for him. An extra 10 pounds for Khabib, I don't think would be a bad thing either. You know, at the end of the day, this is just one of those legacy fights for both guys, you know, to be able to, you know, like for Khabib to put a name as big as GSP on your resume is obviously something you wouldn't want to pass up, but at the same time, it's not like there's any titles on the line. So, yeah, I think that would be a great matchup at that weight. If it does get announced, that would be insane. But definitely GSP needs some time to prepare, because obviously there's like a test cut that would have to happen at first. And then on top of that, you know, he has to really have a good training camp behind him, because you're fighting arguably the best fighter in the world right now, probably the best grappler in the world, not just in the UFC, but just of all time. I mean, Khabib is the greatest. You know, this guy is a world beater. He's just completely dominant against everybody he faces. He's rarely faced adversity in the octagon. And that's not something to take lightly. But at the same time, you know, Khabib has a lot of preparing to do as well. GSP will be not only the best fighter that he's ever faced, but he will also be the most well-rounded fighter he's ever faced. You know, GSP is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, obviously a black belt in karate, a multiple-time welterweight champion, middleweight champ. I mean, this guy's done everything in the sport, you know. I don't think that there would be a bigger spectacle other than Jones versus Adesanya. So, yeah, I don't care when this fight is made. I'm going to be watching it regardless because that'll be like a dream for me.
You brought it up, Jones versus Adesanya. What is going on? These guys are saying some stuff that, is it too far for you at this moment, or is it still like nothing? For me, it's like, to be too far, you got to kind of get Conor Khabib territory. Like, that was vicious. That was bad, like, yeah. If you go back to that, it's really uncomfortable. But what really made me uncomfortable was when he said about his mom would be disappointed. I was like, oh, that is rough. First off, what'd you think about that one?
Yeah, leave the moms out of it, man. That's like dangerous territory. And on top of that, it's like, come on, like, this is a sport at the end of the day. But you have to expect it, you know? Let's be real for a second. Just looking on paper, Jones never lost a fight, and neither has Adesanya, you know? And these dudes are at the top. They're at the pinnacle of the sport, and they want to fight each other, you know? And regardless of size and strength, it don't matter. People just want to see this fight because, you know, there's a lot of people that believe Adesanya would knock Jones out, and there's other people that believe Jones will prevail by taking Adesanya down and beating him up for a couple rounds. But the reality is that I don't think it's even necessary, but we have to be honest with each other. Adesanya brings about this aura that makes people not like him. And I think that he just relishes with confidence, and he's a very interesting character. Something that I don't believe we've seen in the octagon. Like, we've had, obviously, the Conor McGregors, we've had the Colby Covingtons, but Adesanya is different, you know? And I think that Jones just really doesn't like him. And it was kind of almost the same story as Jones versus Cormier. Like, it started off as a playful interaction, and then it went sour really fast. But I think that's what happens when you have two high-level competitors. But at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter what each other, like what they said to each other. What matters is when that contract is signed and when these two are going to get ready to step in for one of the biggest fights in the world. Now, the crazy thing is with the current situation with Jones moving up to heavyweight, how is this going to happen? Like, are we talking 2 years from now after Jones fights Stipe, or are we talking about them just getting it out of the way right now?
That's how I feel that they're thinking about it right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, let's, like, this is hot. You know how Dana is. He wants to get on it mm-hmm. as fast as possible. Yeah. I think that we could see this fight. Wow. So John Jones is probably really big right now.
Yeah, he's definitely walking around 230.
So they're definitely going to fight at 205. I mean, he can make the weight. He probably walks around 225 anyway. Will Eugene let Izzy put on that weight right now? I mean, Izzy just wouldn't have to cut weight, but he'd have to be careful in his training to not lose too much weight as well. Mm-hmm. For me, I say make it as fast as possible. Just get it over with. These guys lose nothing if either of them lose.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that.
I do. And you know what's crazy? Like, this fight, the stipulations of this fight in the beginning was like, oh, Izzy's going to win the middleweight belt and then go up and fight Jones for the 205 belt. But Jones left. So it's like, it's the same story as like a Khabib versus GSP. But obviously, oh, so sorry.
No, you're fine.
With him moving up to heavyweight, it's kind of weird because I kind of wanted to even see this fight at maybe a catch weight of like 195 if they could make it, but now that's kind of off the table. So, you know, there's another factor in play, and it may sound crazy, but like, what if Adesanya just fights the light heavyweight champ, wins, and then says, yeah, I'm just going to go up again and fight Jones at heavyweight? Like, that would be, that'd be insane. Nobody's ever done that before.
Did this bother you? Obviously, I'm going to say it again. Last week, we didn't really get to talk too much. We were like on trial version Zoom.
Yeah.
So like we had 45 minutes. I think I cut it off at like 31 to make sure that we didn't run out of time.
Yeah.
But Daniel Cormier, the day after or 2 days after the fight, said that Izzy is the best 205er in the world right now. Did that bother you? Like, because technically, I mean, he can make 205 and probably be the best, but we don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, you're okay. Well, if you look at the top 10, Izzy's beating, most likely beating all of them, with the exception of people like Dominic Reyes, Jan Blachowicz, but he can beat the Anthony Smiths. He can beat the Rakic. He can beat the Jiří Procházkas, because there's a lot of, there's a lot of things in play when it comes to the striking, and although they're going to be stronger than him, I believe that he'll just be able to defend takedowns, or if he does get taken down, he'll get back up. And, you know, like, the power factor is not going to really matter to Izzy. It doesn't matter how hard these guys kick or punch. Like, he's going to hit you hard, too. He's yeah. going to kick you hard, too. That's the biggest thing. But I'm not too sure about it being a quick night against, like, a Dominic Reyes or Jan Blachowicz, because those dudes are very scary, right? Even though Dominic lost to Jan, he's still a dangerous fighter. He can push the pace. He's got good kicks. He's got good takedown. Like, he's got everything to definitely give Izzy a fight. Now, I will say this. If you give Izzy time and maybe one fight at 205 like they did with Anderson, and then he just goes to fight for the belt, yeah, I see that working out really well for him. I think that he poses a lot of issues for guys like Jan. I'm not saying it'll be an easy fight, but I feel like he could beat him on the feet. You know, I feel like Jan has made a lot of mistakes in his striking. He does take punches, and those punches could be, you know, the deciding factor in that fight. But overall, to end my point, yeah, he if he moves up, yeah, he'll definitely be the best 205er there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, I know he wants to do it too, but it's one of those strike while the iron's hot things. He might have to move up now, but I know that he would like to clean out the division first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, beat Yoel, beat Costa, beat Robert Whittaker, who, you know, people say was so great that GSP retired not to fight him.
Yeah. I mean, imagine how that fight would have went, you know?
It's so crazy to think, because GSP retired because he wasn't excited about it. Like, he had just been through too much at this point in the sport. Ups and downs, mostly ups, obviously. But to think that he retired while Robert Whittaker was the interim champion, it's like, oh, GSP really didn't want to fight Robert Whittaker at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, probably a fight that he would have won.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, it would have been, that would have been his toughest fight, because Rob is good. Like, Rob is a really good fighter. Like, aside from the knockout power and all that, like, he's just intelligent, you know?
Yeah.
But that speaks volumes about how good Adesanya is. And as much as I love GSP, I don't think I'd take him in either of those matchups unless he can definitively, like, hurt one of them or take them down and pass their guard. That's where I take GSP, because that's when the size is and the strength is nullified. But, you know, overall, and I should probably answer your question, previous question, but I think what Daniel was trying to get at was that this is going to be an easy road for Adesanya, because there's really nobody that is at his level right now. I think just aside from, and we have to just, let's just look at what happened in the Costa fight, right? His ability to completely fluster his opponents and maintain the distance that he needs to strike effectively. You know, it's obviously the best in the world. You know, we've seen guys like Conor do it to, like, Eddie Alvarez, John Jones. He's done it to a couple of fighters, you know, in his title fights back then. But Izzy's just the best at it. You know, you're not going to be able to enter into, like, your striking range without catching a couple of shots or being forced into a tie clinch that you don't want to be in, because, let's face it, he's not just a headhunter. Like, he's going to the body, he's going to the legs, he's kicking you in the calves, he's going for head kicks, he's going for knees up the middle. I mean, he's such a versatile striker, and he's so fast that it doesn't even matter if he's skinny or if he doesn't hit you hard. He's just going to hit you with something you don't see coming because your striking is just not at that level. And that's the kind of problem that he poses. So I kind of understand where Daniel was coming from. But at the same time, you can't write off a guy like Jan Blachowicz, because Jan has that Polish power. Like, it's not even about starching people. Yeah. He's just going to hit you with a shot that's going to damage you for the entire fight, and you're not going to be able to shake it off, you know?
It's a shame, because we probably didn't, like, we were so hyped for Izzy that we probably didn't pay Jan his due. But, man, I was so, like, what a performance.
Yeah.
Like, and what a calculated decision to go to the body. Like, I want to know what he saw in tape that he knew that thing would be open.
Yeah, I mean, even when you look at, like, the pace of the fight, what Jan was doing, you know, it was making sense, because, let's face it, after Jan knocks Luke Rockhold out, you're like, damn, he doesn't just have power in his right hand. He's got power in his left. Like, that's his power shot. It's his left hook. It's devastating. So, you know, Dominic was like, nah, I'm not getting hit with that. But he was like, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to, you know, put a hurting on you. And his combinations were on point. Like, he was doing the same combo, because the one thing that I noticed about Dominic is he doesn't always block strikes. What he likes to do, instead of always blocking strikes, is move his head or use his footwork to get out of the way. But, you know, Jan was doing the right thing, because he just kept cutting him off. He was forcing him into his other power hand, and he was just not giving him a chance to set anything up. Like, Dominic was constantly on the move. And that's okay, because in a fight against a power puncher, you don't want to just stand in front of him. But no matter what was happening in the fight, Jan was able to get strikes off effectively. And it was only a matter of time before Reyes would get frustrated and try to force exchanges, which is unfortunately where the downfall took place. He tried to force an exchange and fight back against Jan, and he got caught with a nasty punch that broke his nose and, you know, the last strike that really hurt him, you know. Like, if you look at that performance, that was his best performance. You know, and if you look back then and a couple of years ago, Jan was not a contender at all. He was just one of those guys that was just in the UFC. And if you see what he's done in his last 10 fights, I mean, you can't be anything but amazed at how much work he's done. And, you know, the people that he's beaten to get to the top. I mean, he's definitely earned his spot as the best light heavyweight in the world. But there are a lot of challenges that wait for him ahead.
Yeah, I'm watching that Glover-Tiago fight and hoping that Tiago comes out, because I would like to see that rematch again. Just do it. That's really it. Unless, I don't think we talked about it last week, but I think that Costa's best move is to move up. Yeah. Now he has this chip on his shoulder. Oh, Israel, you're human trash. Sign the rematch. Like, what, bro? You're not getting a rematch no time soon. I think his best thing, him and Yoel, I think both of them should move up.
And rematch at 205.
Why not?
That'd be even scarier.
You're both fully hydrated. Imagine you saw the fight of them drained. Imagine them fully hydrated.
Yep, and ready to go. Energized. Yeah, that'd be a bloodbath. But hey, I mean, we said it before, you know, Costa posed some problems to Adesanya, but he completely just exposed him. And he's going to have to work on those things if he's moving up to 205, because that division is not easy, you know.
Guess what?
Go ahead.
He's not working on it. His Instagram, he's doing the same thing he was doing before.
Yeah.
He's just throwing that one power shot over and over. And you know what? Maybe that's your marketing. You know, you want to people to hear your power, you know what I mean? But, like, bro, you gotta show us something else, because what you showed us during the Adesanya fight, it ain't cutting it.
Yeah, I mean, just taking damage is not, it doesn't make you a high-level fighter, you know. And at the end of the day, it was sad to watch it. It was just watching somebody not be there mentally. He was so focused on clowning Izzy that he got clowned himself, and in the worst way, you know. So, yeah, I think overall there's a lot of interesting fights to make. But the real question is, how crazy is 2021 going to be? And what's the light heavyweight division going to look like after Glover versus Thiago, you know, and they finally figure out who Jan's facing next? Like, that's the crazy part about, you know, the light heavyweight division. There's so many contenders already. You have Glover, Thiago. You have Jiří Procházka, who's definitely coming up. You know, Rakic. I mean, Johnny Walker finally got a win, which was good. Got the finish, too. So, you know, they're going to push him pretty hard. So it's going to be insane. But we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, so let's talk about some fight announcements. We haven't talked fight announcements in maybe 6 months, like that we give like designated fight announcements like we used to.
Yeah.
But let's just cover some that are let's talk about some stuff that we haven't talked about since we cut it off. So we have Robbie Lawler versus Mike Perry. How'd you feel about Mike Perry asking like whoever, basically the highest bidder, you get to be in my corner?
I don't know what's going on.
Does that bother you that, like, a UFC fighter, like, the highest level of mixed martial arts, and you're just offering your corner up for a fee?
I don't even... Dude, honestly, I don't even care. Like, after this fight, obviously, Robbie's probably gonna knock him out, but, you know.
I hope not, man. I like Mike Perry. He, you know, mental issues aside, I do enjoy watching him, and he is a promo and a half.
Yeah, I like him, but yeah, I don't see him going toe to toe with Robbie and like coming out alive. Yeah. Robbie's a monster, but yeah, I thought it was kind of weird. Darren Till just kind of offered, which was hilarious. Like,
he said he'd pay $5,000. He said, "Hey, sure, why not?"
I mean, you know, I don't think he'll listen to Darren, but
no,
but I mean, it Darren's would be funny.
Did you see Darren was like, "All right, looks like I'm in there. Now who wants to pay me to throw in the towel?"
That. See, that's kind of why I like Darren. He's like just a huge walking meme, and he's hilarious, man.
Definitely a meme.
But you know what's funny? It's like he's kind of like playfully bullying Mike Perry, and it's hilarious because it's like he's treating Mike Perry like his kid brother, and I know Mike Perry hates it. It's freaking hilarious.
But all jokes aside, I think that's going to be a good fight.
Yeah, yeah. That'll definitely be action-packed.
Yeah. So then we have Cody Stamann versus Merab Dvalishvili. Is that how you say that? This Merab cat is so exciting to watch. He is so dominant as a wrestler.
Yeah.
That should be a good fight because Cody Stamann's really good too. Volkan Ozdemir versus Nikita Krylov. And then, like we said, I think this is the fourth time they've had to move this fight, but Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. Then we keep going. Omari Akhmedov versus Marvin Vittori. Marvin Vittori, someone who's campaigning for that rematch with Adesanya, saying that he won that fight. Now, I saw that it was a split decision, but I don't know how true that was.
Yeah, no, it was not true. He was lucky that he got that split decision.
Yeah, so then a fight for this weekend, Edson Barboza versus Makwan Amerikani. Cody Garbrandt out for his title shot, so now Davison Figueiredo will be facing Alex Perez. Big spot for Alex Perez. Main event, title shot, late replacement. Could he do it? Probably not, but we will see. How about this fun fight? This probably one of the next contenders, Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval.
Dude, I am so excited for that fight. That's a killer fight. It's going to be crazy, dude.
I can't believe it. Like, that Brandon Royval kid, he won me over after his last few performances. And obviously, the fight of the night the last time he fought.
dude, Brandon Moreno, he's going to go in there with everything. They're just going to go off on each other. Like, from the opening bell, it's going to be fireworks. I can't wait.
This dude is a machine when it comes to getting bonuses, so I don't expect anything less from him.
Yeah.
Then we have Arnold Allen versus Jeremy Stephens.
God, why are they doing this? Like, literally, they're just like, all right, let's put the new kid up with the old line. It's like, why? Just give Jeremy Stephens, like, a legend fight. Jesus, you keep giving him, like, the best up-and-comers.
Dude, 0-5 in his, well, 0-4-1 in his last 5 fights.
Like, look, Jeremy Stephens has the potential to win every fight, right? But he just doesn't unless he gets one good shot that really, like, hurt his fighter, well, his opponent. And that's, like, not going to happen against Arnold Allen. Like, he barely makes mistakes in there, you know, unless there's a grappling exchange. But, yeah, I'm just excited to see Arnold Allen back.
Me too. His last fight was Gilbert?
Yes. Yes.
And then the big one for us, Andre, as a podcast, as Philly fight fans, as we like to call ourselves, Bilal Muhammad versus Sean Brady. I feel so bad for Paul Felder.
Yeah, that's
because he does, like, obviously he trains with Sean Brady out here, but Bilal Muhammad is a teammate as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know who thought to make this fight, but I love it. I'm a big fan of Bilal Muhammad. He is one of, if not the most entertaining personality on social media in MMA, who is also a fighter. And Sean Brady, his last performance was chef's kiss. So, Sean Brady, I'm always excited to see him fight.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be Sean's toughest matchup. I think I called this.
We will go back.
Yeah.
But I believe you did.
Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, like, what would be a great fight? And, yeah, that stylistically, these dudes match up so well with each other. It's almost, I won't say it's a mirror, because obviously Sean has the better grappling. But, yeah, these guys are, like, same size, same amount of strength. They're both, it's just gonna be crazy. Like, I feel like if they were ranked higher, it would be a main event. Like, that's how good these guys are. But it's tough. It's really tough to say who can win, you know, because I really feel like both dudes are gonna bring it. I know the first round is probably gonna be scarce because, you know, not for nothing, but Sean is good, but Bilal is too. Like, he has excellent kickboxing. So, yeah, when this fight happens, dude, I just hope it's on main card because, you know, Sean definitely deserves a main card spot or at least co-main because this is going to be a crazy fight.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. Andre, let's talk about this past weekend. There was no shortage of MMA, and I want an honest answer from you. How much MMA did you consume this weekend?
I saw a couple of fights and some highlights. I wasn't really, like, in the mood to watch anything. Not going to lie to you. But
this is all honesty on this podcast. Listen, there were, I believe, 3 cards.
Yeah.
2 promotions. I saw 2 UFC fights and 1 Bellator fight. I watched the James Gallagher?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to confuse him with the old wrestler Jack Gallagher. James Gallagher, I watched his fight, and then I watched this is so random, out of all the fights, oh no, actually, okay, 4, because I definitely saw the Casey Kenney fight. He laid the smackdown on this dude, a decision, but he crushed the dude. I watched Loma Luke Boom versus Jinyu Fry. This Loma chick is so underrated, dude. And it's a shame because Jinyu Fry, like, I want her to be good, like, because she's attractive. I'm like, oh, you have to be good. You'd be, like, a marketing machine, but you're not that good. And then I watched the Carlos Condit versus Court McGee fight, and that's when after that fight, I turned off MMA for the night. But I did enjoy everything that I just said I watched. I enjoyed immensely. It seems going through the, you know, listening to all the shows this week and kind of like looking through Twitter that I didn't really miss much besides Holly Holm dominating. In a wrestling aspect, which is crazy. Like Holly Holm, the kickboxer, Holly Holm, who's up for the Boxing Hall of Fame next week, dominating in a grappling sense, is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. But man, that just goes to show you she trains at one of the best camps in the world, and she's a really well-rounded mixed martial artist now. You know, I don't even think that age has anything to do with it when it comes to her career.
39
and still rolling, fighting a very tough competitor in Irene Aldana. I mean, Aldana, I don't know what she was doing in there, but yeah, that was an excellent performance from Holly. There's not much that I could say about the whole Irene Aldana situation because I really feel like her game plan just didn't work at all. I don't know what she was trying to do, but yeah, it didn't work out. Like, and the crazy thing for me was that she kept doing the same thing for five rounds. Like, she literally kept circling to her strong side, even though Holly was completely just, like, not there. And I was so confused. But, yeah. I mean, hats off to Holly. I think the only fight to make, if it's not another title shot, is probably a rematch with Jermaine Durandamy. Yeah, so, I mean, that I feel like Holly Holm definitely deserves a chance to right that wrong. Because there were a lot of, you know, late strikes. And those definitely played a huge part in that title fight for the 145 belt. So, in my opinion, I think that them running it back would be great. That's a great co-main event. That's also a great main event, in my opinion. So, we'll see where the UFC goes with that. But where does that Irene Aldana go? Maybe she fights Aspen Ladd.
Is this worst case scenario for her?
Yeah, because, I mean, that was a fight that she was supposed to win. Not taking anything away from Holly, but given the trajectory that she already had after beating Ketlin Vieira, you kind of thought she was going to at least squeak by. But, yeah, that didn't happen at all. The scary thing is, like, Holly Holm at the last round, like, oh, my God. She really put it on her. But, yeah, man, it was a great main event. There's not much to say because
there really isn't.
I wasn't expecting that.
I wanted to be, like, completely honest. I had, after we talked, like, obviously we sped through the card and kind of, like, it showed how much we were like, oh, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that probably affected my thought process on Saturday when I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to watch it. But I was also, like, in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm with family that I only see so ever so often. Like, I put on the card. I actually put on the card. My brother wanted to see it, and I fell asleep on the couch after the Carlos Condit fight. So that was, damn, which one is that? That's, like, Fight Island 10, I feel like. But this weekend, we continue on Fight Island for the main event. Marlon Moraes versus Corey Sandhagen. Moraes, I believe his last fight was the Jose Aldo fight.
Yes.
And then Corey Sandhagen's last fight was the brutal beatdown from Aljamain Sterling. Damn, man. I remember. We are having technical difficulties. I remember being, like, upset, like, damn. I like Aljo, but I was really rooting for Corey because he's so understated. Like,
yeah.
He just looks like a regular dude, and I just always wanted, like, that regular dude killer.
Yep.
And he got tore up in that fight, and it didn't take very long. But he has a chance right here against Marlon Moraes. Also didn't look fantastic in his last fight. What do you want to see out of this main event, Andre? Because there's open spaces in this division to make a run. Obviously, whoever wins this fight should probably get the winner of Aljo versus Jan, right? Because that has to be the next title shot. Not confirmed yet, but you would think that'd be the next title shot.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. The next fight has to be for the title for both guys. But it's kind of a tough matchup. Really more for Corey, because Marlon, obviously he made a lot of mistakes in his title fight against Henry. He kind of blew himself out in the first two rounds and just got destroyed after that. And, you know, obviously fighting against Aldo, you know, he was tentative, if I can say that. So, yeah, I think that he kind of has to go for a finish here. And if he really wants a shot at that title, you know, he has to really go at Corey with everything. He cannot let him try to set up strikes because, you know, Corey's really crafty. He's slick. And, you know, he's going to go in there and do what he has to do to win, you know. But at the end of the day, Sanhagen in this fight has to really keep the distance, you know. I mean, we've seen him do that, but we've also seen him take punishment on the inside. And he's just going to have to be smart because Marlon is nasty when he gets the strikes going and he starts landing combos and starts throwing power kicks. I mean, that's not something that he's going to want to deal with for five rounds. So, yeah, it's stylistically a bad matchup for both guys, you know, because both of them can just play to their strengths and go five rounds. But we'll see, because if I'm being honest with you, I don't see this going five rounds. I see somebody getting finished, but I'm kind of leaning more towards Marlon. I feel like Marlon definitely has the opportunity to be a champion. And yeah, I mean, the thing that he has over, you know, Corey is that he actually knocked Aljo out. And yeah, and I think Marlon would be a crazy matchup versus Pietro Jan. So we'll see, man. I mean, I think I just like fights like these. So you picking people is kind of hard for me. But yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, we don't have to pick. Don't worry. I wouldn't be against you not picking.
I remember when we used to pick, like, in the early days.
Bro, the first, if you guys go back, right, I think, okay, this is perfect because I would love to talk about this. Our first episode, I think, was us just, like, talking about our love for MMA and where our fandom derived from.
Yeah, and me giving, like, weird statistics and being completely nervous.
And then I believe our second episode, we covered like the card that was coming up. I believe we picked every fight on that card and we said that we were going to keep track on how we did at the end of the year. Something ridiculous like that. Like, we were going to pick every fight from every card and see how good we did each one of us.
Yeah.
Which is the worst concept ever. I just remember, here's my least favorite thing about the first episodes, which they're all up there if anybody wants to go up. I remember that Matt Madness allowed us to go on their feed for the first few weeks before we got our own feed. I remember trying to figure out, like, I guess you could say, like, my radio voice and catchphrases, like, how I was going to open the show, how I was going to close the show. I think I always opened, "What's going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here." But the closing was always different. I remember I tried theme songs. I tried to use, like, stuff from fights. And I was never in love with it. Like, I remember I had this long, like, 1-minute intro, which I did like. I just wish it was a little shorter, about some motivational thing. But it just didn't make sense for me. It makes more sense, like, say, when we open, if we're just, like, chopping it up or, like, right into the "what's going on." Like, I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy how that sounds when I turn it on. And then the closes, okay? Before we got into, like, promotional, how we are at the end now, I remember I took a wrestler's catchphrase at one point. It was very clear, like, I wasn't trying to make it my own. I was saying it like him, like, trying to, like, because I like the saying goodbye and good night, bam. But it just always seemed so campy that I stopped doing it. But I think where we where we're at now, we've been for probably over a year. Like, that trial period was probably like 3 months before we finally like got into the groove. And I love like our format now, whether we're on Skype, Zoom, or in the, obviously I like it here the best, but I definitely, this is the best us that we could be.
Yeah. I mean, we spent a couple of months away, like not in the studio. That was definitely rough.
It was a challenge because there's something about a chemistry when you're in front of me.
Yeah.
That I can't get over the screen, which I think everybody deals with. It's just if you're, I'm sorry, I'm a bit like, my allergies are kicking my butt. My throat is going.
It's cool.
Like, there's something about a chemistry. I think everybody feels that, where it's obviously it's better that I'm talking to you face to face, like in person, rather than over the internet, which time might be off. Internet connection is always shoddy. I don't care if I'm next to the router. There's always something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's so funny to think that we thought we were going to pick fights and keep track. Like, oh, laughable.
Yeah. I mean, hey, but, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about this, the rest of this card. Nothing crazy. Actually, it's quite light. But I'm just going to go through a few of the names, like notable names. Tracy Cortez versus Stephanie Ager in the women's bantamweight division. We have Impa Kasanganai coming back to fight Joaquin Buckley. That Impa, 8-0, and staying busy. This is his third fight in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Something crazy like that. So good for him. Here we go. A Philly main event just for us. Chris Daukaus versus Rodrigo Nascimento Figueira.
Wow.
Don't know who it is, but he is undefeated. So it should be a good fight. Chris, I'm rooting for you, man. You look great in your last fight. You look great in your last few fights, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it moving. And then Tom Breeze versus KB Buller. That is the main event of the prelims. Moving on to the main card, Andre, notable names like Yusuf Zalal, which I do like watching Yusuf Zalal. He's a lot of fun. In the heavyweight division, we have Tom Espinal versus Alan Boudat. In the middleweight division, Marcus Perez versus the guy I brought up last week, former champion Driscus Duplessis. And then we have Ben Rothwell versus Marcin Tybura. And then in the co-main event, this should be a fun one, Edson Barbosa versus Makwan Amirkhani. So I guess a little better card than last week. Bellator also has a card this week, which they're splitting up in two for the time zones. But the main event on the first card, actually, Andre, you're going to love this. This is 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Michael Venom Page versus Ross Houston. Let me see.
Let me just ask you, who's Ross Houston?
You know as well as me, brother.
Exactly. That sums up Bellator.
Are you surprised, though?
No, not at all. I'm actually just disappointed.
Yeah, that's it's always something with them, right? They just keep putting this guy against. You could go in there and fight him if you wanted to.
Yeah, at this point.
Just pad your record a little bit, and they'll be like, oh, this guy's legit.
No, no, three fights, and that's all I need.
And then their second card, or first, I don't know. You know how they split them up. It's so weird. Czech Congo versus Tim Johnson. Two fights on the main card and then a 12-fight undercard. Okay. Bellator.
Wait, what?
Do you better.
You said 12 fights on the undercard.
I'm sorry. I was being exaggerated. But still, it's six fights on the prelims and then two fights. Like, why?
What the hell?
I guess Czech Congo fighting in France is a big deal. Like, they're in Paris. That's the, like, sell point for this show. But you're not giving me any fights I care about. Like, obviously, now they're down another guy. Like, they don't have Michael Chandler, so it makes it tougher.
Yeah.
But name five fighters you care about in Bellator right now, and don't think too hard.
I can't. Douglas Lima.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Yep. Me too.
Douglas Lima.
You know what? That's it.
Why is he not in the UFC yet? Like, that's – look, oh, my God. This is my only – this is one of my biggest dilemmas with Bellator, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, okay? I know that I'm not in the business industry, and I know nothing about when it comes to, you know, developing talent for, like, an organization like Bellator. But, dude, how hard is it to matchmake? Like, how hard is it to go out and try to find decent fighters? Like, they have – dude, I think, like, one of their best lightweights right now is, like, what, Adam Piccolotti? Like, that's it. I don't know anybody else, and you know, other than like the superstars, it's like,
and even the superstars in 10 seconds I gave you, you could only name one. That was it.
Yeah, because they suck. You and the sad thing is this: Dana said it best, and I really don't quote Dana a lot. Their best fighters and most notable fighters are guys that were in the UFC and didn't do well. But it's like, dude, can't you just go to another country or another city and just try and find prospects like the UFC does? I'm not saying do a Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series-esque kind of segment. Just go out and find people who know how to fight that aren't like 4-12, you know? Like, that's all I'm saying. Make your fights worth it, like, to watch. Your cards worth it to watch, because, God almighty, it's like, it's hard sometimes to even want to tune in. I don't care who's fighting in the main event. It's like, and then, you know what's crazy? You look at the undercard, right, of a big-time card that they're putting, let's say, like, Patchy Mix versus Juan Archuleta, and you look at the just disgusting undercard of it's full of people you don't even know. It's like, why? I don't get it, man. Whatever.
I'm gonna hold this up, and you're going to tell me how you feel about this. What about this main event? How killer is that?
Who the hell's that?
It's Corey Anderson versus Melvin Manhoef.
Are you kidding me?
How old is Melvin Manhoef?
He's like 90. And he's... Oh, my God, man. Whatever, I'm done. Where is this happening at?
Mohegan Sun.
For what? What? For Bellator?
Bellator, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Main event.
I'm done.
On a Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Listen, Andre, I know Bellator doesn't have the best card. I know the UFC has a decent card. Hey, Chris Daukaus is on there. You know, great main event. But we have a podcast. And I am happy to say that the audience that we've gained over the last few weeks, we've actually retained. I said this over text message. I would like to say it over air. Andre, congratulations. I really appreciate all the work you do to come on this podcast, even if it's just showing up and kind of like spewing nonsense, as you say sometimes in your head, like, oh, I'm just like make it up. Like, I don't care, bro. You do great, and I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for everybody who's joined us over these last 2 years going on early next year. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you guys. If you would like to support us, we have a Teespring store. It's not so much about the profit. It's more about you guys being able to wear us on your chest. So that is teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA podcast. Check us out there. Check us out on Instagram, YBE MMA Podcast. You can follow me on all forms of social media, Elroy Preps in one word, including TikTok, which we didn't get a chance to talk to, but I started following this boxing guy. I've been sending you his videos all the time. He talks a lot of smack, but guess what? He got me excited for a few fights. Josh might start watching boxing, guys.
Oh, my God.
Andre, please tell him your social media.
Guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Twitch under the name Flow State Dre. I've been off air from the whole Twitch thing for a couple of days, just trying to grind, get better. But I'll be back on shortly, probably by next week. I'll be back on to a normal schedule. And you can also find me on Facebook as my regular name, Andre. You probably won't find me there, but, you know, it's okay. But, yeah, thank you guys all for tuning in. Thank you for all the support. I appreciate it. And thanks for coming for another episode.
Yeah, do me a favor. Do you mind hitting the outro?
Yeah. if it's your birthday, happy birthday. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Andre.